What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The newest head coach and general manager in Ottawa Red Blacks history, Ryan Dinwiddie, joins us. I believe you're the fourth bench boss in Red Blacks history and the third GM. Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, being in Toronto, I was number 45 and then now number four here in Ottawa. So very excited about the opportunity and, you know, fresh start and new challenges and, you know, looking forward to getting to work and figuring this thing out.
Ryan, it seems like this was a quick process that happened. So if you can, in detail, take us through it from your perspective, how the discussions with the Toronto Argonauts went after the season was over and then to now where you're the head coach and GM in Ottawa.
Yeah, so the first, you know, after the season, you know, kind of got going and, you know, looked at what we got to get better at, you know, obviously in Toronto. You know, looked at, you know, roster and free agency, you know, ranked all those guys and was planning on being there. And then, you know, I know Ottawa asked for permission last Friday. You know, Toronto went through the weekend to, you know, see what they were going to do there. And they granted permission on Monday, got that phone call, got on a flight Monday night, you know, had dinner with Berkey and, you know, sat down Tuesday and went through our philosophies and, you know, spent about, you know, a whole day in a boardroom, right? And we kind of just got to work and it was just, it was seamless. And, you know, we spent a lot of time there and the time just kind of got away from us, you know, next thing you know, is the end of the day. And so we could have spent a few days in there and then iron out the contracts yesterday. And, obviously got that announced, yesterday afternoon in a press conference today.
In terms of Toronto, there's a report out there that said that you didn't give them the opportunity to at least match that dual role. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not the person that's going to go walk into a building and, you know, interview there and take the numbers that they've, you know, offered me and I guess the contract as far as length and then use that against the club that just brought me in. I just didn't feel like that's a very good approach, not very good for business. So I understand their approach to it that, you know, they want to be able to. Same time, you know, it was a good fit. And so I felt really good about it. And we went from there.
Was there ever any discussion? And I ask you, because you've told me this before, that you've had thoughts about being a head coach and GM in this league. So was there any discussion about that possibility in Toronto prior to this opportunity coming about with Ottawa?
Well, there's been, you know, some chats. I've sat down with Pinball. He knew my end goal was always to be a head coach and general manager. You know, we've had discussions there. You know, I think, you know, Michael wanted to stay in that role for a while and they felt, you know, good with where they were. They obviously were comfortable with me being the head coach and we had a great working relationship. You know, at this stage, it was just time for me to take a new challenge and work with some folks that I felt really good about building a future with. So just felt really comfortable here, fell in love with the facilities, you know, spent a lot of time with the personnel department, obviously ownership and management, and it just seemed like a really good fit, and I was excited to be a part of it.
You said during the press conference in Ottawa, which took place in the Red Blacks locker room, that you had already been doing a lot of general manager-type things in Toronto. Is that the case? And if so, what had you been doing?
Well, you know, I was there year-round. Obviously, Pinner was the lead voice and the guy that was doing the general manager job. John Murphy was doing quite a bit as well. But, you know, it comes down to draft, you know, and boards and putting those things together. I was a heavy part of that. You know, years prior, you know, me and Vince Magri were sitting down doing a lot of those things together. So, you know, I was obviously evaluating talent in the offseason. You know, Canadian drafts in itself is, you know, separate. But, you know, looking at American players, when we're getting players, you know, sent over to me, you know, evaluating not just the quarterbacks and receivers and, you know, offensive guys, I was looking at all positions. So, you know, I just felt like it was something that I've always, you know, spent time on behind the scenes just to be ready for this stage. And you're always trying to grow, but you also got to put the work in and be ready for the opportunity.
Had you got into contract negotiations and managing the salary cap as well?
No, so that's the salary cap. I've obviously done some numbers as far as, you know, what numbers we're looking for as far as positions. So when I did talk to, you know, Murph and Pinner, I said, well, I like this guy, but I like him right around this number. So I understand, you know, those things. Salary cap, never been a part of, you know, won't be doing that here. That's going to be, you know, Sean's expertise there. You know, that's a little tricky, you know, as far as learning those things. That takes some time. And even in Toronto, we had a, you know, a salary cap, you know, person, Linda Davis, did a lot of that stuff for us to help out with management there. So you got to have someone that has a really good idea as far as crunching numbers to handle that salary cap. And you got to have a lot of predictions as far as what it might look like with injuries, without injuries. There's a lot that goes into it.
It sounds like there was a possibility where the Argonauts didn't want to let you go into a contract year in 2026 and potentially sign you to a contract extension. Were those part of discussions that you had?
Well, I had some discussions with Keith Pelley, you know, weeks prior that, you know, there's going to be extension coming in the near future. Never got to see one on paper. Never was offered one. So really don't have an answer if that was going to be the case, that one was coming. But, you know, never got to that stage. Obviously got offered a 3-year deal here, chance to, you know, cut my teeth in the head coach general manager role here and be around some good people, you know, and I was looking forward to that.
When did you first hear that the Ottawa Redblacks were interested in you in the dual head coach and GM role?
Yeah, when they, you know, called and asked for permission. You know, Keith called me and said, you know, Ottawa's asked for permission in the head coach GM role. And I, you know, I told him I'm flattered by that. And I said, you know, that's out of left field. I hadn't had any communication here in Ottawa. So, you know, MLSC took the weekend to think about it. And, you know, they have a 48-hour window to, you know, kind of see where they're at, and Ottawa gave us the whole weekend to work through that, and then by the time Monday, you know, that window had expired, and I was granted permission to fly to Ottawa and interview. So got here Monday night, and it happened rather quickly.
For the fans who don't know, how exactly does that window work? Is there a time frame to it where the team that has been asked to grant permission gets the opportunity to think about whether or not they are going to?
Yeah, so obviously a lateral move, you know, they can block that at any time. This wasn't a lateral move, and it's in league rules that this was an upgrade, and it was in the league rules that, you know, a head coach becoming a general manager, that's not a lateral move. So, you know, they had 48 hours to request permission, and then after that 48 hours, really the league can step in and say, well, you've had that window to, at this stage, you're going to have to give them permission. So we never got to that. I think the ownership here and Keith have a great relationship as far as being on the board. So they're pretty open and honest with their communication. And I thought we handled things the proper way. And sometimes it's just business.
Toronto grants you permission, and Vice President of Football Operations, Sean Burke, told me you literally flew to Ottawa on Monday night. And then all of a sudden on Wednesday, you know, at around 4 p.m. Eastern time, you're introduced as the new head coach and general manager. What took place there from your conversations with Sean Burke, the football operations staff, to have you be so resolute in your decision to go to Ottawa?
Yeah, like, you know, I got in Monday, we had dinner, and then Tuesday we just kind of went through our beliefs, you know, our vision, our philosophy, you know, how we view the roster, how we view the ratio, how do we view certain skill sets for different positions, you know, philosophy-wise, what we want to do on offense, defense, special teams, and you know, I was more of the head coaching presence of it. But then we got into the management side of things. And you know, I'm going to lean a lot on Sean. He's been doing this for, you know, a long, long time, very detailed. That was the one thing that impressed me, was how detailed he was and how organized he was. So I knew that was going to, you know, help me, you know, take on this new role and you know, be able to rely on him. And some of the things that I've had to do in years past, other places, you know, obviously Toronto, there was a lot more I had to do outside of just being a head coach and, you know, schedules and all those things. And there's a lot that's already set in place here. So it's going to be an easy transition. It's probably going to take a little bit off my plate, to be honest with you, to a point. And we sat down Tuesday, went through all that. We got done with that. Then we started talking contracts a little bit that night, went to dinner, and then, you know, finalized it, you know, Wednesday morning, and then came to agreement in the afternoon.
Did the facilities really jump out to you? And I know you mentioned it earlier, but I think for the uninitiated, you know, in Toronto, you have to travel back and forth from BMO Field. There's also the traffic there, but in Ottawa, you're all in one spot and it's pretty nice there. Plus there's going to be some stadium upgrades as well.
Yeah. Looking forward to hearing about the stadium upgrades. Found out a little bit about that when I got here. I was obviously foreign to that idea. Didn't know much about it. But the facilities are amazing. You know, I can walk right out of, you know, our locker room and get right on the grass and get to work. So we're going to save some time there. And then after practice, being able to get right into the film room. So we're not watching practice the next day. Let's put it to bed the day of. So looking forward to that schedule change. The coaches have their own office, which is great. You know, in Toronto, I had my own office, but all the offense had their own room. Defense had their own room, but they were kind of cubicle styles. But I thought that was great as well because, you know, you build bonds. You're right there. You can talk to the guy right next to you. But I think guys want to have their own privacy. You know, after an 18-game season, you know, you might wear on each other to a point, and that's natural. That happens throughout the year. You know, the weight room was great. You know, we had a great one in Toronto as well. But yeah, I just love the facilities, love the vision of, you know, what they're trying to do, and excited about it.
Sean Burke has said you have full control and say over the roster. And I'm curious because you guys seem to hit it off, but you must have had some sort of a relationship or admiration for each other before this came to fruition. Is that right?
Yeah. I've known Sean for a while, you know, in brief conversations, but, you know, nothing in as depth as we went, you know, this week. And I think our philosophies aligned, how the workload was going to be divided amongst the staff. And then obviously the scouting department, myself and Sean, it was very similar to what I've done in years past. So it was pretty easy, you know, and then we just want to make sure that, you know, we can work together. Like we, you know, Sean mentioned in the presser was, you know, no egos. And, you know, I think everybody's got a little bit of ego to them, but if you're willing to work with someone else and check that at the door and not have to prove that you're the smartest in the room each day. So the more voices that you have, and if you're on the same page and collective, that's a great thing to have. Now, at the same time, you can't be a yes man and just go with the flow of the room. I like guys that stand up for what they believe in, but at the end of the day, it's collaborative, and we have you know, one voice leaving that room, and whatever decision we make, we've done that together.
In terms of your coaching staff, Ryan, do you already have an idea of who you want in place there? Might you retain any of the current people who are on the Red Black staff and have contracts for 2026?
Yeah, so I got to meet those guys. Obviously, I haven't worked with them, so you know, see where they're at, you know, talk some football with them, you know, talk some, you know, life with those guys, kind of see what type of people they are, you know, what they envision their role to be, what their role was, you know, previously. I have some staff members that I worked with in Toronto and maybe some other places that I have in mind. So I have a list of, you know, each role for each coach that I kind of, you know, want to talk to. But at the same time, are they under contract? Can you get them here? There's a lot that goes into it. So you got to have a big list of multiple people, and then you go from there and make the right decisions based off availability.
Does it help that you have a previous relationship with William Fields, who was a defensive coordinator last year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, had a great working relationship with Will. Wanted to retain him last year. Obviously, him getting the sole role as defensive coordinator. I know he's ready for what he's done at the college level. Obviously, was a co for us and, you know, play caller for us as well. I thought he did a good job, you know, handling that, and he was ready for it. I thought they did a good job this year defensively. You know, there's some things, some areas we want to improve at, obviously, and some things we might want to adapt and change some schemes and, you know, how we're going to attack offenses and go from there. I got some things that I want to you know, run by Will, and then some things I want to see. So you know, we'll go through that, and you know, that's going to be the process of the offseason, and you know, see what our identity is going to be on defense, and you know how we're going to dress, how many guys, are we going to be three down, are we going to be four down, are we going to mix and match that. That's going to have to be decided before we start shaping our roster in February.
Does that mean that William Fields will be your defensive coordinator in 2026?
I wouldn't say for sure. You know, we still got to go through that process, but I'm comfortable with Will being the DC. We've already had conversations and talked those balls, or talked the ball game and what we need to do as far as, you know, getting better. And, you know, just really lean on him as far as like going through the roster. He's familiar with them. I'm just starting to get familiar with them, but, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if that's the route we go, but I also have to sit down with Will and make sure it's a fit for both of us before I make any judgment decisions on that.
I would imagine there's going to have to be some evaluations at the position that you know arguably the best, and that would be quarterback. Drew Brown is under contract for the 2026 CFL season with Ottawa. That said, he does have a six-figure offseason roster bonus due in the new year. So what's your process like there to evaluate Drew Brown and to make a decision as to whether you want him as your QB1?
Yeah, I think got to sit down with him, just kind of get to know him as the person first, see what he's, you know, his mental makeup is there, and then talk some football and, you know, see what, you know, he's been taught and what they asked him to do in the scheme. You know, maybe watch a few games with them. Maybe we got to fly him up here to Ottawa so we can have some in-person time. I talked to Berkey about that today, potentially doing that. I think he's a good player. I think there's some things we can clean up. We got to make sure we keep him healthy. But I think, you know, he's definitely one of the top nine quarterbacks in this league. But I want to sit down with him and watch some more film and evaluate him. But there, I have a good opinion right now, kind of where he's at. I think we can get more out of him and have him play in a cleaner football game. But, you know, that starts with protecting him first.
Do you envision him being your starter entering the 2026 CFL season?
Well, right now he is. You know, like you said, they got the bonus coming up, and you know, there's free agency. Would we bring another quarterback for him to compete with? I like competition. You know, salary cap. You know, that's an issue. What can we afford as far as bringing in another guy to compete with him? You know, you can also look at, you know, different things as far as trades. But I'm comfortable with where he's at. You know, we made a commitment to him as an organization. And now we got to evaluate that decision and make sure it's the right thing for us moving forward.
You've been very vocal in the past, Ryan, about your praise for Chad Kelly and him being among the best, if not the best, quarterbacks in the Canadian Football League. Does he factor at all, or other potential free agents here, into your decision-making at that position?
Well, I think you got to look at a lot of different things. And go through a bunch of different scenarios and, you know, evaluate some other quarterbacks across the league and do what's best for the football club, most importantly. And that's the thing in this business. There are tough decisions. You can't run away from them. You got to make them. And you got to do your best to make sure it's the right decision. So we're going to look at all avenues, like I said, and investigate what's best for the Ottawa Redblacks and this organization moving forward and the longevity of it lasting consistently, you know, each year. And I give yourself opportunity to be successful and not having a huge roster turnover, you know, each season. So we're looking at everything, no stones unturned. But right now, Drew's our quarterback, and we're comfortable with that.
Are there any other pieces on the roster or that are under contract for 2026 that drew you to Ottawa? You know, I think of a guy like Geno Lewis, or, you know, the flashes and the upside that we've seen from Khalil Pimpleton. Justin Hardy's been highly productive. Are there some other pieces that I'm missing there? Do you like those three as receivers? How do you feel about it overall?
Yeah, so I got to talk with Eugene today. Got to talk with Pimp today. You know, just talking philosophy, talking, you know, ball. And, you know, they're excited to play in a new offense and learn it. So I got to get that set up on the servers with our terminology, which is going to take a few days and you know, maybe a week to get all that situated. So then they can get a head start on the learning process of our offense. So I think the receiver position's a strength. There's some other areas I got to evaluate more. Obviously, the offense is a little bit easier to have a quick answer as far as that. You know, but we got to do a better job protecting the quarterback. And what are we going to do ratio-wise up front? I feel like, you know, we got some – good Canadian content up front, you know, but we got to find ways to get better there as well. But, yeah, I think there's enough pieces here. We obviously got to add to it. You know, we're not done, you know, molding the roster. I don't think that ever changes, you know, day in, day out. You're always looking to get better. But there is some pieces here to be successful, and then we got to, you know, find ways to make it work and, you know, get these guys opportunities to be successful at skill position.
When you were with the Argos entering the 2025 CFL season, you decided to go young at running back. What would be your perspective on that, having gone through this year and then with a view through to who could be your starting running back for the Red Blacks in 2026?
Yeah. You know, I think just like any year, you got to find a guy you can hang your hat on that's going to be your bell cow. You know, I have some time with Daniel, you know, in Toronto. I think he can be a guy that can get good production out of it, the running back position. Probably didn't get him enough touches when he was with me in Toronto when we had Kadeem, you know, and, you know, he got the heavy load of it. I went younger last year, you know, sometimes that has to do with the salary cap to make those decisions. But we want to find a bell cow. We got to find one that we really have trust in and believe in. And then we got to bring in some guys that we really like that are new to the league and, you know, see how they compete in camp. And you never know, you know, what the roster is going to look like. That's what training camp's for. But you want to have some guys penciled in before you get there that you have a good belief in that can get a good production out of that running back position.
Kadeem Carey, as you referenced, helped you win a Grey Cup with the Toronto Argonauts in 2024. And Daniel would be Daniel Adeboboye. Do you think he could be a ratio changer in the CFL at running back as a legitimate starter?
I think so. I think any time he's had his opportunity, he's done a great job with it. I think he played well this year here, especially against Toronto. I thought he done a really good job. I trust in Daniel. I think he can do it. Now, is it going to be an every down back like a, you know, Brady? I don't have that answer right now, but I think he's, you know, got a chance to take more of a load and be productive with it. So smart kid. He'll know the system from our time in Toronto. You know, I think he can be a starting caliber running back in this league. That's why we drafted him so high when I was in Toronto, because we loved his skill set.
Brady Oliveira being the guy who won the CFL MOP and MOC in 2024 with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at running back. Ryan, you won two Grey Cups in Toronto. Why do you think the environment is no longer conducive to winning there, and you believe that it is there in Ottawa?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. You know, I felt like if I was planning on going back to Toronto, and I felt like we could get back in that in the playoff hunt. And obviously, we didn't get there this year. That was a tough pill to swallow. Here was an opportunity to, you know, take on more of a role as far as, you know, where I want to go in the stages of my career. And you know, the Red Blacks, you know, obviously called me and brought me in for that opportunity to interview for it, and it just felt right. And you know, just like I went to Toronto, there was a lot of folks that called me and said, "What are you doing? Like, that's where coaches go to die." And look how it's turned out for my career. And I felt like I'm just going there and make it work. And that's what I'm feeling about here. It's a better environment than it was when I first got to Toronto, that's for sure. But we turned it around in Toronto, and there's no reason why we can't turn it around here. You know, you got to put a lot of work into it. It doesn't happen overnight. You can't wish it to happen. You got to make it happen.
What were some of the keys in Toronto to building that consistent winner, and how can you translate them to the Red Blacks?
Yeah, I think getting the right people in your locker room. You know, I brought a lot of guys from Calgary that I was familiar with that were free agents that helped me get going on that were, you know, leaders in the locker room and guys that I could coach hard and push hard were the newer players or the guys that have been around Toronto, you know, see my personality. And then I'm getting after guys that I'm really close with that I handpicked to come in there. They can understand that, you know, I treat everybody equally. You know, it doesn't matter what relationship that you have with me, but I did lean hard on a lot of those guys that I, you know, had prior work with, and that I knew the type of person that they are. You got to have some good players, absolutely, but you got to have some, I always say, characters with character. I want guys to be themselves and show their true personality, but we got to have some character. We got to be selfless. It's a team first mentality, which I always say leads to greater individual success for the player. And if they can buy into that, I think it'll work out for the team and for the individual.
You have a lot of passion yourself. It's clear you're fiery. You're a competitor. And I got to recall the comments that you made after beating Edmonton during the regular season to tell them to enjoy the off season. Do you have any regrets about those, considering Toronto finished outside the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you say stuff like that, you kind of put your back against the wall, right? You know, it was an emotional game. You know, sometimes my emotions get the best of me. You always, you know, look back and, you know, some certain things that you do or say, and you're like, I wish I would have handled that a little differently. Obviously, that was the case there. But at the same time, I want to be authentic, and I don't want to be fake and not show who I am. I was feeling really good. That was three wins in a row, right, at the time. And then we lost Nick in that game, and you know, lost the next one. And it kind of just snowballed. But we had some chances to win some of those games. Just didn't work out for us. I think, you know, if you know, BC, we were right there at the end, you know, going in to potentially score. I thought we had a PI call in the Montreal game, which I thought it would have been a different outcome for that game. But I thought we were playing good enough football to make a run at the end at that stage.
It was close. And Nick, who you're talking about, was Nick Arbuckle. And part of why you're such a good head coach, Ryan, for me talking to players that have played for you, is that passion, is that fire, is that competitiveness. So as much as, you know, and I appreciate you admitting you might not have wanted to say things like you said after the Edmonton game, is that part of what makes you great?
Well, I was talking with Berkey when he was like, you know, what's one of the traits? I said, oh, sometimes my emotions get the best of me, the competitive edge that I try to bring to work with me each day. And he goes, well, that's why I wanted to hire you. That's what I like. So it's different strokes for different folks. You know, some people like it, some don't. I'm not here to make everybody happy. You never will. You spend time trying to make people happy and to be liked, not about being liked. I want my players and my coaches to respect me and enjoy being around me, but it's not about being liked in the media or the fan base. Obviously, your fans, you want to really like you and enjoy who you are and appreciate, you know, what you bring to the organization. But I think you just got to stay true to who you are. Like I say, honesty is the best policy, but being authentic and not trying to be fake and do things that's, you know, not in your makeup, you know, that's just not me.
I would imagine the fans are going to be happy to find out that you are going to make Ottawa your year-round home. How did you come to that decision so quickly?
Well, I think, you know, we did that in Toronto. You know, I took the job and about a month later I was up there and, you know, brought my wife and kids with me, or wife and kid. And then we had my second son, Cannon, in Toronto, going in my first year here. So, you know, it was great to see our family, you know, develop over the last 6 years. And the kids are in school till the end of the school year. And I'll be going back on the weekends. You know, maybe I, you know, grind out Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so I can get back to Toronto and spend some time with them. But I thought it was important to be here, you know, every day. And I think that's the best way to be successful.
And how do you anticipate, you know, that move happening in terms of like once training camp or, as you said, the school year ends for your kids, that you're there in Ottawa full time?
Yeah. So right now I'm just trying to find some places here, looking at some homes. You know, got an apartment downtown that the club set me up in for the time being. So I, like I said, I'll go back and forth over the next little bit. Obviously, we have American Thanksgiving coming up. Am I going to be able to get home for that? You know, we got Christmas coming up, so I want to make the full-time move and, you know, get some of my stuff up here where it's comfortable for me, probably early January.
You're past the formal part now. You've been introduced as a head coach and general manager with the Ottawa Redblacks, Ryan. What comes next over the offseason for you? What's your focus?
Yeah, so I got the whole list of the players here, so I'm going to start calling. Important. You know, that's the one thing I got to do right now. Got to get a coaching staff together. You know, once the schedule comes out, I'll make the yearly calendar. And now we got to start looking some players, you know, great in free agency, got them ranked by position group. You know, we got to be ready for February. So that's kind of where we're at now. The playbook stuff will come after free agency. Obviously, I had that already. You know, coming from Toronto, I'm bringing my playbook with me. I got to change the logo on it and stuff like that. But I feel like we're well ahead of where we need to be.
How do you feel that you look in red and black? You have a lot of double blue in your wardrobe, but that's probably going to change over.
Yeah, no, I know. I got to change some color combinations. So I got to get some new shoes. You know, I have some stuff back from my Calgary days, so maybe pull some of those out. But they've already hooked me up with some gear, got me some black shoes, got me some red shoes. So I'm ready to go change my color codes.
There you go. Ryan, thank you for the time and insight. We really appreciate it.
All right, Justin, appreciate you, buddy.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.